Gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I forget what we're trying to appreciate this week. Perhaps we'll just do it very general, you know, we're trying to appreciate life and whatnot. On that note, possibly, maybe, our associate producer has been suggesting that it should be Agenda 21 Appreciation Week. I'm inclined to agree. I fully love enslavement and global banks to take over of all the people's assets and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, why wouldn't I? I love being a slave. And as always, on the Vinnie Eastwood Show is my co-host, Will. Good morning, bro.
Morning, Vinnie. How you going, mate?
Yep, somewhat fabulous. If not somewhat brainless. Oh yeah, I just feel dumb today. Yesterday I was out with Penny Bright making her campaign mayoral video on the top of the mountain in Mount Eden, overlooking the whole of Auckland City, which I thought was quite fitting for an Auckland City mayoral campaign. I also helped her set up her Facebook group, Penny Bright for Mayor. That's the numeral four, Mayor. And you won't believe this, Will. I even got her on Twitter, and even taught her how to text in her Twitter updates.
Really? Oh, boy.
Yeah, I couldn't
integrate into the matrix now.
Oh yeah.
See, I've got GPS and the internet disabled on my phone.
Nice one, bro.
Disabled the YouTube function on my phone.
Is that just in case there's some little kids, you know, get a hold of your phone and you're like, oh man, I don't want my internet bill to go out of control here. What, don't we have the third highest telecommunications cost in the OECD? You know, we're a third world country pretending to be a first world nation. It's like, hey, come to New Zealand. You'll pay 10 times as much for your telecommunications, but hey, it doesn't matter.
And they'd be 10 times slower, which is great.
Yeah. Pay 10 times as much, get it 10 times as slow. I wonder if we could package that as a deal that somebody would be stupid enough to buy.
Got to be 4 million people somewhere.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's kind of the monopoly system going on there. When you don't have a choice, you'll buy whatever crap offered to you. You're listening, speaking of which, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Well, America, you know, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Right back.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, It's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
The Sporico Berries theme song.
That's right. That's all part of it. That's foreplay.
That's all part of it. It's foreplay. He's gonna, well, do something very, very naughty to your country if you let him. Let's hope you've got protection. Now, I wanted to talk about Barack H. O'Barry because he's quite symbolic, really. And you know what's real strange? Well, before the election came out, you know, before the Obama deception came out, I was sucked in like the rest of the fluoride heads as well. I thought to myself, oh, isn't it great? You know, America's capable of accepting somebody else now. Little did I know that he's got the exact same financial backers as his opponent, except they gave him twice as much money as they gave his opponent. How can this be? In politics?
Yeah, man, I mean, they take from all sides, right? There's Arabs involved, there's wealthy Africans involved, there's Asians involved. I mean,
it's like a raceless conspiracy, you know, because every race is involved here, you know, to a certain extent. I mean, they're incredibly racist and eugenic and all of this kind of stuff, but, you know.
I just think that they, for the time being, for the sake of pushing through their world order, they're willing to be friends with elites from a variety of ethnicities. But in general, it's kind of like how Adolf Hitler was willing to ally with the Japanese. Of course he would have wanted those, you know, yellows or whatever he would call them, dead, you know. Of course he wouldn't like them. And the Japanese, similar, very racist. They would have wanted the Nazis dead. But for the sake of fighting a common enemy, us, they were willing to ally.
And well, literally the common enemy, because we're just the common man, yeah.
Well, I think the New World Order has a common enemy. It's called anyone who's not in their banking, elite Halliburton, you know, pat each other on the back circles. And so, you know, they're willing to be friends with, you know, they created the royal families in Saudi, Qatar, the guys in Dubai. They created their wealth. So they, you know, prance around pretending they're royalty now. And they're just they've got big Freemasonic branches over there in Egypt and Saudi and all around there, Israel of course, you know, they're not racist for the time being, but you know, then they'll probably have a big war amongst themselves. So yeah, it's no surprise they use Barack. I just can't believe that this man can accumulate more debt than all the presidents, all the 43 before him, 234 years of American history before him, and in 1 year he's able to accumulate more debt than the collective amount of all those before him. And people go, stop criticizing him. Don't be racist. Like in the like frying pan and just hitting them in the head, stupid zombie.
I know what you mean. It's that I don't know, that desire to lash out because you get so offended by stupidity. It's and you know what? I think the climate cultists get this too. You know, the same as we do. They think they know that, you know, everything's going down. But they know Jack, right? And at the same time, they get really, really angry at anybody who questions it. Or get really, really angry at anybody who's got alternative information, right? But In our case, it's kind of different because we're talking about people who literally know nothing and frustrate us so just because we know a little, at the very least.
Yeah. Well, you, with all these guys, you have to show, you know, it sounds kind of egotistical or arrogant or whatever, but you literally have to show you're better than them in terms of facts. Not in terms of, you know, being a better human or anything, but in terms of knowing your subject matter, you have to know it. You have to be able to know all their arguments, which isn't very hard because they're just like,
because there's only like one or two.
Climate change is real. You know, you're a denier.
those are their two arguments, eh? You know, in a nutshell, climate change is real and you're a denier.
Yeah. And how can you disagree with all these scientists, which I assume agree with me? And you rejecting an official, you know, it's like on the rare occasions, you know, I've been somewhere and the conversation about evolution's come up, you know. Right throughout my school years and all that, when I was kind of like a geek at school, I would have fully agreed with them about Darwinism and stuff. Now in my later years, 26, when I don't, on the rare occasion I haven't, I don't even want to bring it up. I don't want to force people to believe anything. But I say, they ask me, do you believe in that? And I say, no, I don't believe in evolution. Like, like gasping, like looking at me like, I thought you were smart, Will. How can you not, you know, like looking at this and, you know, I thought you could read.
Now, this is as opposed to, hey, Will's actually smart. Maybe we should listen to him. As opposed to, you know.
It's like it suddenly makes them think, wow, like, you know. Questioning this guy, how can I be friends with him? He doesn't believe in this, you know, mainstream cult of belief. Everyone else does. How can everyone be wrong?
Yeah, you know? I believe in devolution.
I certainly believe I see examples
of the reality of devolution all around me. It's impossible not to notice.
Oh yeah, man, I totally believe in I don't believe in evolution as Darwin pitched it, but I mean, I totally think the species is changing rapidly at the moment for the worse. And yeah, you know, I just argue where it comes from. I can't get my head around Stephen Hawking's "there is no beginning and there is no end" philosophy. I can see an end coming, and I assume there was a beginning at some point. But anyway, I could just be a you know. Primordial knuckle dragging ape. So, anyway.
Well, it's fun being an ape, I think. No.
But really, like, it doesn't really matter what we think, you know, on the ultimate questions on life. Here we are, Barack Obama's bankrupting your country over there in the US. John Key is emptying our wallets over here in New Zealand. The air around me and Vinny right now is being taxed. I can't believe I'm living in idiocracy. The air around us is being taxed. I can't believe it. Everyone out there is too busy being slaves to the Federal Reserve to notice. Everyone out there is in their spare time being too busy living their lives, i.e. getting drunk on the fluoride and, you know, just being depravic. Yeah, it's really a mess. It's really a mess, and it's really easy to see where it's going. And good people need to protect themselves, because with all the negative things you can know, there's positive things you can know too. And you need to get out there. And if anyone has got money, why keep? Alan Bollard saying people are hoarding cash this day and age. You should be trading in that cash for gold, silver, any commodity of historical value you can get your hands on. And sit on that. Sit on that for 5 years, see what happens. Yeah? As all these currencies lose, as they talk more and more about the financial crisis, you should be able to have a grin on your face. Because that will, you know, as the currencies go down, the price of commodities will go up. It has to.
Well, is this economic crisis that it's being instigated coming on in, like you say, we've got the carbon taxes right here in New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen. The ETS, Emissions Trading Scheme, or Extra Tax Sucks, as I like to call it. As now, me and my girlfriend, we have noticed that our power bill has gone up, and I've noticed that fuel is more expensive, and this is only the beginning. They only put it in just a little bit at a time. And the idea here is to, well, basically bankrupt all the ordinary people, to basically abolish the middle class, because the middle class has always been a balancing mechanism for political tyranny, right? They've always managed to have some political swing because they've got free time and spare cash, and they don't have to focus 100% of their time on survival as those who are deathly poor do. And the idea, basically, is if you only have two classes, the ruler and the slave, and make it quite a literal one, not just a figurative one that we have at the moment, it means that we will be able to be under control forever. And I was watching a video with Doc Bean yesterday. It's just been uploaded to our YouTube channel as he was on the Vinnie Eastwood show. If there be danger, let it be now, so that my children may live in peace. And I thought to myself about what a warrior is and how young men always go off to fight. And I thought, hey, Will, aren't we actually doing precisely what other young men in generations past have been doing? They're going off and they're actually fighting against the enemies that they perceive. That's precisely what we're doing, right? So we're kind of fulfilling this sort of this perpetual motion machine, a perpetual emotion machine of young men wanting to fight. Isn't that funny? And you have a look at lots of different other truth movements, and they're fully populated by young men. We are the new soldiery, really, because we understand who the real enemy is. In past times,
I like how you say young men
too. One
would
have allied to one's government. But in times like these, citizens are making their own battlefronts. They are forming their own armies, and they are fighting against an enemy that is so pervasive and so all-encompassing of this planet that there is no government and no banner that they can actually rally behind which fully fights their enemy accurately.
It's true, and it's really encouraging to see the feet on the street in New York over the weekend and just a lot of indicators like that. But then it's also, you know, we're out there on the street on Saturday, and then after the screening of any me and Alvaro went back down Queen Street to try and hand out the remainder of the DVDs. And I just noticed that so many young people were just turning us down, or no, or just completely apathetic. Like, they were going in to buy. We were standing outside Borders on Queen Street, on the busiest streets in New Zealand, and people were going in to buy $10 magazines they're going to throw out next week. And here we are, giving out free DVDs that would otherwise cost like $30. Free. And they wouldn't even take it out of interest. You know, if someone's handing me a free DVD, unless it was, you know, something ridiculous, totally ridiculous, I wouldn't, you know, I'd just take it, benefit of the doubt. And it was kind of like these people were scared, like I had a big swastika on my forehead or something. Like, a lot of people did take them, obviously. One guy had come up to me and he said, oh, what religion are you pushing here? You know? And another guy, sort of like, looked like one of John Banks' mates, sort of swung his umbrella in my direction and said, in one line, what are you selling here? And I said, 9/11 was an inside job. And he goes, oh, okay. Sort of hurriedly makes his way. But I just noticed how there were certain demographics totally ignorant, man, and a lot of young people, a lot of, you know, I'm a goth, I'm anti-establishment types, really I'm actually pro-establishment, complete Lady Gaga sucker. and it's just like I don't know, man. Some of our generation are really frustrating. And notice how we get all support from you know, our producer, our Mitch, and a lot of middle-aged people who are smart enough to work it out because they've got some retrospective of time on this planet. People our age, man, just want to eat McDonald's and be dumb and think everything's a big joke and revel in the fake pop culture that's handed to us.
It's a shame, isn't it?
People talk about this new age enlightenment in 2 years' time, man. Look, I don't know how to fight the New World Order properly. We're just doing what we're doing. How are these people going to get their heads around it? It's not going to happen. We can talk about these ET style, everyone awakens, and there's this, everyone's in this godlike state resisting the New World Order, man. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen like that. It's just, you know, I can't wait till this 2012 stuff's over. I can't wait till that date has passed anyway, just so the people realize nothing's going to happen in terms of this huge awakening we're all expecting. People are stupid, man. That's not going to change. How do you think they're hardwiring their brains going to change when aspartame's working against it right now?
The old Luciferians are loving this, I bet. You know, everybody's kind of like concerned, right, that something's going wrong or is about to go very, very wrong. And for goodness sake, people, it's already going wrong. And the only
they're not concerned.
Thing that... Yeah, they're not concerned, are they? They're not concerned with reality. They're only concerned with what about my nice, fluffy, fabulous thoughts about a wonderful new world. You know, I don't care in particular about some distant vision of the future, because as far as I'm concerned, the present time, we are under immense threat from a million different directions, okay? That is the truth of it. If you cannot get your head around the fact that we are under threat right now and that your actions count towards the future survival of mankind and the future freedom of mankind, get your head out of the sand and do it now, lest you get your head cut off whilst it's still underneath the ground so you can't see who's eating you.
If they can't understand that Barack Obama is a bankster by now, how can they begin to understand the enormity of this new world order?
Oh, it's just such a fabulous time being a bankster these days, in the time of our global government fascism. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back. Please don't deserve. Radio, best friggin' network on earth, bar none. And this is because of a few reasons. Number one, the owner of the network is somebody who's dedicated to truth. Number two, all the people that are populating the hot seat here, the people who are hosting the show, are dedicated to having a free humanity. And everybody else who contributes to the show, whether it be by going to the website and buying products, or just listening, and everybody who offers us feedback, about what it is that we do here. Shows like the Intel Hub, Time for Hemp, Truth of Girls, and even Christy's show, Chris and Cherie, Freedom Files. They're all really good shows, and it's very rare that you find a network that has consistently good show after good show. And I love American Freedom Radio. Now, the Vinnie Eastwood show often is not taking things too seriously, but the problematic difficulty with this is, you know, are we ever going to go overboard, do you think? Well, perhaps we'll take something way too far one of these days and we'll offend a whole bunch of people. We can only hope.
Well,
and, I came to this realization that offending people is actually part of an effective political game. If you're not offending people, then you must be doing something wrong. If you're not offending people, it means you're not challenging anybody's belief. I mean, as long as, of course, you know, there's exceptions where people are just being offensive just because they're ridiculously moronic. In case of climate cultists. But I, on the other hand, I'm deeply concerned that perhaps, much like a lot of other truthers, your perspective change when your circumstance does. And this is kind of emblematic of our society, isn't it? Well, because our Prime Minister, John Key, the donkey honky rape me, this is my, you know, he used to be very, very poor. And now he's worth $50 million. Working for Merrill Lynch was one of the crowning achievements in his career, and now he's the Prime Minister of New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't believe that poor story of his.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's all very bogus.
Well, think about John Banks as well, the current mayor of Auckland City. He supposedly used to be poor, and we had our... what's his name? Michael Laws. You know Michael Laws. Well, he's a very, very right-wing conservative...
piece of crap.
Person. Yeah, basically. And yesterday I was listening to...
He's not conservative. He's a fake conservative, by the way. Well,
that's right. And yesterday I was listening to him, to his radio show, and he says, oh, all these people who have gang connections in their family, anybody who doesn't have a job... Anybody who can't, you know, effectively raise their kids or something should have all their kids taken off them because they will never, ever, under any circumstances, become a success if they are in a family that is not already a success. Those are his words.
Did he say that yesterday?
Yes.
He's always saying stuff revolving around children, sterilizing people.
Sterilizing, you know,
call for incentive-based government... based incentives out of our tax money to pay people not to have babies.
And he'd argue that this would be a brilliant usage of taxpayers' money, that in the long run, you save money, okay?
The sad thing about that is, though...
getting these useless eaters out of society. And I found it very funny because he comes from a poor family with family violence and all of that, and he's now
he's
the mayor
useless.
Of Whanganui. No, he's not, you know. He has this opinion
about... He is,
about
he'd
people.
Argue he is.
Yeah. He has this opinion about people which he himself, by his very heartbeat, contradicts. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, perhaps this is something that we do everywhere. We put on to other people what we see in ourselves.
Well, look, man, I'm not a bankster scumbag, I know that. I might not be perfect, but if I was a millionaire tomorrow... and I didn't live in this current situation I lived in, and everything was rosy, everything still wouldn't be rosy. The world would still be run by a bunch of psychopaths, and I would still be pissed off about it. And Barack Obama would still be a bankster, and it doesn't change anything. See, people think perception is reality. People think this. And, you know, whilst it holds true in certain aspects of life, it really doesn't, and that's really the problem. It's because you've got 7 billion people waltzing around with 7 billion perceptions of what they think's going on, but only one thing is going on. There's only things only happen one way. We're only in one dimension here, you know? And we only have one time-space continuum. And yet everyone's got all these ideas as to what, you know, a thousand different people can think a thousand different things about Barack Obama, but only one or none are true. Because you just can't have multiple truths regarding a specific account. And this is what people need to understand, get through their thick heads to start with. But yeah, so it wouldn't matter if I was a millionaire, it wouldn't matter if you were a millionaire. It doesn't change. It doesn't change anything.
And I think it does. Some people come from being poor and having a concern for the poor and all of those other people around them, and they go to being incredibly wealthy, and they all of a sudden forget about all those people down the bottom.
But
and
does
I, was
the world
speaking,
change?
I was speaking to John. I forget his surname, but anyways, an older activist, and I asked him, you know, if I'm going to be in radio and I'm going to be doing these videos and all of this kind of stuff, you know, how do I prevent myself from becoming one of those scum who forgets where they come from and forgets all the people that helped them get there? And he said, well, basically, you have to make sure that you are on the ground floor constantly. You have to still continue to understand what everybody is going through, okay? And when you're at 30,000 feet on your private Learjet, it's kind of difficult to have that perception come back, you know?
Yeah, but those people are being worked over too. People on Wall Street who aren't part of some of the literally Gambino gangsters running the show, as Max Kaiser talks about. People on Wall Street, day traders, forex traders, know they're getting worked over. They're getting screwed over by these guys. And you know, and they're wealthy people. Some of these people are multimillionaires. And they're not happy. Look, it affects everyone. It doesn't matter if you've got $10 million and a big house in St. Stephen's Ave next to John Key. Like, it really doesn't matter. You're not part of the elite. You're nothing. You're middle class. You're still slave scum.
Yeah. I mean, unless you have...
It doesn't change anything.
What's the cutoff point here, Will? I mean, how much money do you have before you breach the gap between being one of the slaves and one of the elite? I mean, is it $1 billion?
I'd say it'd be in the billions, yeah.
It would have to be multiple billions, you know?
Well, the wealthiest guy...
Probably at least
five. Yeah, well, you have to be up on the rich list, but even the Forbes list is a complete joke. Because it doesn't go into aggregate and collateral and all sorts of stuff. But still, a lot of those people on the top of those lists, a lot of these guys in Qatar and everything else, I mean, yeah, they're going to obviously be up there. But it's not someone for a dinky $1 million. I mean, even middle-class people understand that to be a millionaire in New Zealand today, to be a proper millionaire, is like $6 million-plus liquid. Because $1 million isn't what $1 million used to be. Even they understand that. Because of inflation. $1 million buys you two average homes in New Zealand now. Whereas $1 million used to set someone up for life. It used to be like, you know? Right, it used to be they would never have to work a day. They could buy everything they wanted. You won $1 million tomorrow in lotto. You get a house, car. You could pretty much just cover what you needed. And then have a bit to live off for a while. I mean, you'd be fine, but... It's not, you know, it's not the same. So, yeah, multi-millionaires, billionaires, yeah. I'd say Bohemian Grove is largely a billionaire's club.
Oh, I want to be a billionaire. So frickin' bad. Hanging out with Barack O'Barry and George Bush's dad. yeah. Hey, and this is the other thing. You get kind of sick when you become elite, don't you, Will? You become sort of perverse, you know? There's almost no trace of humanity that can follow you through that tyrannical wormhole, is there? You know, how you become such a sick individual when you lose touch with people, you know? Because you're all living in your head.
Michael Laws over here is a talk show host. He's not one of these elite. He's a piece of crap who thinks everything's so perfect that he has to go after people for not wanting to have a job or for not wanting to... You know what I mean? The guy's a complete tosser. Like, he's just... You know, it's just a stinking pile of crap, that guy. He thinks he's saving the country money. He thinks, oh, these people are costing the health system. These people are costing the social welfare system. He doesn't understand the whole system is geared around that cost. What keeps the banks issuing liquidity into this country is the more and more people in servitude to them, the more and more people receiving a welfare check that allows the central banks to make larger loans to the government. I mean, he doesn't understand anything. He's a complete shill hack in the style of Fox News. I mean, you just
the
made
shills
me feel like
know that they're shills.
I'm going to write an email to him while we're doing this. I'm just so wild at that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it offended me grossly.
He's just a eugenicist piece of crap. He's not
That's
a blue blood.
That's exactly yeah. what it is. You know, he these people are implementing bloody eugenics policies, and they're talking about it on the radio like it's a good thing. You know,
and because they put us all into this collective stew, this commie socialist, feudalist, cronyist stew, and there are all these social problems, and certain ethnicities are overrepresented in crime statistics here in New Zealand,
and because they're like targeted specifically by the police,
and it's like anywhere else. I can say it because I am brown. It's brown people. It's brown people in England. It's brown people in the United States. It's, you know, it's not only, but you know, and it's brown people in New Zealand who are at the bottom of the list, health-wise, economics-wise, and then at the top of the list, crime-wise, and killing-wise, and domestic violence-wise, and
yeah.
drug and alcohol-wise.
And there's a
and
huge
then,
amount
and
of
a whole bunch
programs
of
involved in doing this to them, you know, like flu shots, for example. If you're brown and in a small, lower decile area, did you know that you're far more likely to get a free flu shot forced on you than a white person in a yeah. comparative neighbourhood?
But the white person in the other neighbourhood, so there's South Auckland over here, and then there's West Auckland, and there's white Westies, some of them are rednecks, and they listen to someone like Michael Laws hating on these certain people, and they're like, yeah, I hate those brown slugs, those bludgers. They just need to, you know, they need to have disincentives towards having children. They have too many children. So what this shill does is he plays into people's laps and plays into their predisposition, their racism, frankly, against certain other individuals. Instead of seeing problems that are holding them down too, they're earning $20,000 a year more. They've just got their head above the water. They think they're an elite. See, in this system, it's all like tiers, and if I'm above someone else, I can hate on them. And that's their big excuse. I'm slightly above because I worked hard. None of you guys, you're all pieces of crap. None of you are any more elite.
They're all freaking scum. Just like their opinion of us. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Will, and we'll be right back.
So good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite. By satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust. A bike with no handlebars,
no handlebars. That's right. We don't need no handlebars, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's all eugenics. Speaking of which, good old Michael Laws in New Zealand. I mean, I'm sure that there are comparative radio talk show hosts, you know, fake conservative, shill, eugenic policy pushing, enraged scum, you know, they're in everybody's country. It's kind of what talk radio is about, is that you get some ass on air to offend people. It's great talk radio, isn't it? Look,
the only thing...
I mean, look at me!
I mean, laws would agree with us about global warming, and so that makes him a rarity in New Zealand. But other than that, he's a warmonger. He says the Arabs did 9/11, you know, and therefore legitimizes the fraud of going into, you know, going an empire building. I mean, he's just a real pig ignorant individual. But unfortunately, he has a lot of sway. And then we've got better right wingers over here. Fortunately, we've got people like Lockwood Smith, but then Lockwood Smith still won't come around on the war issues. I mean, conservatives don't get it. True conservatism is about each to their own. It's about staying within your country's boundaries, defending it. It's not about globalism. That's not conservative. It's not about growing government, growing militaries, expanding corporate contracts between governments and military. I mean, no way. That's not conservatism. Like, and that's what I mean. It's not my opinion that they're fakes according to their own conservative ideals. It's an objective fact. And yeah, I'd love to have to be able to debate laws. I'd love nothing more. You know, then maybe debating Glenn Beck, maybe that would be.
No, seriously. If you argue with him on air, this is, you know, the measure of a bad talk show host. Somebody who will not let the other person speak. Mm-hmm. You know, if you cannot accept other people's ideas, what the hell are you doing in the public sphere where you have influence over them, you know, like in radio? I mean, come on.
I can't accept his ideas.
but you're willing to listen to them and then look at them and then just go, okay, this is eugenics.
Yeah.
I don't like it. You know, it's making a rational call.
Well, whereas we read his articles, right?
Yeah.
Well, but he doesn't read ours.
Oh, yes.
See? So put it that way. So the only reason we know about him to hate him is because we've taken the time to look stuff up on him. But he would hate us without taking any time. It'd just go, oh, you think that about 9/11, you should be thrown in a mental institution. As he said to me.
Really?
Yeah. He goes, you should save the government some time and check yourself into a mental institution. And he also, and then he said, you're a complete F-wit. And this is after I sent him an ordinary, plain, calm email talking about the anomalies and mainstream contradictions in the 9/11 story, like 4 years
psycho
ago. And he freaked out, like completely freaked out. And then I spoke to other people and found out, oh, it's quite normal for him. Just all in a day's work for him.
Hey, aren't there these people that are he's like the, what's his name? He's like the O'Reilly factor of New Zealand.
Yeah.
Crazy that you can't even have a general conversation with them about anything because they're just too crazy. Basically, that's it. You know, once you get too far ahead of yourself, you become really full of yourself. And that's precisely what happens. This guy thinks far too narrowly and far too long in the distance to even conceive that 9/11 is an inside job. No.
Look, Laws, we're going to send this to you, okay?
The solution to these Arab terrorists, you know, is to make sure that poor people don't have no babies.
Yeah, none of the Arab terrorists had any affiliation to the US government, Laws. None of them lived on NSA properties in Florida, in the Florida region. There isn't an official U.S. government plan for 9/11-style attacks in the name of Operation Northwoods. The neocons weren't publicly founded by the Trotskyites. None of this is real, okay, Laws? Stay in Kansas. Keep being a fluoride head. Keep being a retard. That's all you're ever going to be, okay? And see what happens. See what happens to your country, you so-called conservative.
Yeah.
You see what happens. You wait and see. You think gangs are a problem now, pal? You wait until they bankrupt the economy and the gangs are the only thing running around town. You wait until they turn your dollar into ash, and then see what happens. Stupid fool. Seriously, man.
Now maybe it's because we're patriots and we actually care about our country that it offends us much, because he says that he does when we know for a fact that he doesn't, because every single action is complete contradiction to that. And again, comparable people are everywhere. You know, this is a global false patriot uprising. You know, these knob, fob scum get themselves into these positions where they're like, hey, I'm the mayor of the town. All of a sudden, I'm freaking God. And everybody else says, babies have to be vaccinated. Yes.
I'm a libertarian.
I want to die.
Castrate yourselves. I'm a conservative libertarian. My name's Michael Dawes. I'm a libertarian - Stalinist. Come on, huh?
Libertarian Stalinist. There we go.
I'm Michael Laws. Total douche.
And speaking of which, you're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. I am a total douche. And my co-host, Will, supposedly isn't. And we'll be right back with hour number two. This video, 1:44, if you want to look at it. Greenpeace video, 352,603 views of a kid in a hoodie saying you are evil if you don't radically change the world's consumption of fossil fuels. You're gonna kill me, therefore you're an enemy, and I'm really angry because I'm a little kid with cultist eyes, and I'm looking directly into the camera with direct address, making you go, oh, we need to save the children because they're so angry with us.
Do you remember that program, American Gothic, Vinny?
Yeah.
Years ago? He looks like the kid out of that, the evil little Caleb. And he's so scary, this kid. But anyway, like, okay, I try and say to people, you know, content and style, you know, not style over substance, so we'll ignore what he looks like, even though he does look like a pale zombie-fired kid.
He does.
But what he's saying is like...
He loves the star time.
I mean, what annoys me is this real concern about the future and the whole world's going to be over and all this sort of stuff. It's true, but for other reasons... for other reasons they're totally ignorant of and totally in denial of themselves, and they call us deniers. I mean, it's like the world's totally upside down, as we all know. They're New World Order deniers. And
yeah, in fact, I'm going to leave a comment on that video there. You're a conspiracy denier.
But then all the other comments under it, like the top Greenpeace, the top comment is, hey, Greenpeace, get effed. And other people saying the video's plain evil, video's sickening, You know, just no one, you know, people saying we're not buying this crap, it's an elitist agenda, complete horse crap. I mean, like, yeah, everyone's everyone's totally against it, which is awesome.
Hey, well, the Truther movement now kind of owns YouTube, don't they? You know, you can't put out a piece of New World Order propaganda on the on YouTube anymore without dozens and dozens, if not thousands, of truthers commenting on it, saying, "Hey, you're evil, you're scum. This is New World Order filth. You can't, you don't know what you're talking about. You are evil, okay? You're calling us evil? You're the ones who are evil, okay? It's the best tactic. If you're a Nazi, call your opponents Nazis."
Which is how the blog warfare does actually work. And with enough people, it's a good example of, you know, strength in numbers. Other people viewing that video, look at the comments. They're seeing what other people are saying. It feeds into the whole collective. And, you know, in that way, eventually, you know, scumbags at Greenpeace and scumbags like Michael Laws will be outed out, dragged on the street and torn limb from limb, hopefully. But no, but seriously. No, seriously, though. I mean, as long as their ideology is outed, I don't want any physical harm to come their way, but they need to get off our airwaves and stop running the show.
Yep. We don't encourage lynching on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Of course, we don't discourage it either. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will, and we'll be right back.
Well, there's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you?
Anger to a place that ain't gon' get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so, so where'd you rather stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery.
They print a handy buck and loan it to you. They charge interest on the loan but don't print the interest. So there'll never be enough money to pay off all the debt. What do you get?
Oh, isn't that nice, ladies and gentlemen?
Come on now.
Welcome back.
Got a new law for you.
Let's ladies and gentlemen,
so right,
to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. I'd also like to just give our sponsors a quick plug, the old Garden Microbes. Definitely worth a look, gardenmicrobes.com. There's an awful lot of poisons in the soil these days with the chemtrails and Monsanto and all of these other scumbags, not to mention the Gulf of Oil cano spraying Corexit everywhere. And one of the ways that you can actually reduce the amount of chemicals and poison that are all over the place, as is almost unavoidable these days, is microbial action from gardenmicrobes.com. For the health of your family and for the health of your country, go to gardenmicrobes.com or email them at info@gardenmicrobes.com or give them a call at 888-9-MICROBES. That's 888-9-MICROBES. Support Garden Microbes and support the Vinnie Eastwood Show, if you please. Thank you very much. On the subject of saving the environment, climate cultists, one of the most dangerous groups ever. And I'm not, you know, being silly here, okay? I think that the Hitler Youth was less dangerous because at least they were obvious. These are the future Nazis of our society, ladies and gentlemen. They've indoctrinated our kids. They're brainwashing them all day long in school. You know, like they'll show Al Gore's film, which has a million holes in it, more than Swiss cheese. But they won't show any other films that refute it in school. Will they? No. Because you're too young to have two sides of an argument. You're too young to understand that your actions have consequences. You're too young, all right? But you're not too young to help push propaganda on the public for us. Thank you, Greenpeace. Oh my God. I hate Greenpeace so much, okay? Because of stuff like this, well. All right, they're manipulating our kids, and I don't think that you should ever use children as a political weapon. You know, this is it's usury, right? As far as I'm concerned, children are not supposed to be brought into the political arena until you are of voting age. And more to the point, until you understand what the hell it is you're talking about. Your political opinion means nothing, and people are trying to, you know, manipulate our parents and stuff like that. We're going, oh, it's all for the children.
Well, I think parents should take responsibility. Like, you know, if I had a child, I would be teaching that child anti-government propaganda, according to them. You know, I would be teaching that child that the UN and consolidated power is dangerous, and, you know, I would be. I make no qualms about that, you know, like... So in the same essence, some of these cultists get their kids involved and everything else because that's what's important to them. It's just sad that's where misinformation leads to, you know, like you set a lie in motion and then it has all this collateral damage down the line, and you know, where does it stop? Well, when you're talking about something like tax in the atmosphere, it doesn't stop for a long time. The roll-on effects are absolutely huge, and that's why it's more ridiculous than the window tax of 1648 or whatever it was. It's more ridiculous than anything ever dreamt of before. And these guys buy it, and they say it's not a corporate agenda, and they say the global warming agenda is not a government scam and everything. It's run by the government now, the emission trading scam. And, well, it's run by the UN and the government fills out there. It's totally insane. Living insanity. And these people still say they're educated. I had two cultists admit to me last week, finally, for the first time ever, that I actually knew more about the debate than they did, and they were ignorant of my side. Whilst I knew their side. A huge admission.
That is big. You know?
But still, it doesn't solve the problem because they weren't willing to be less than ignorant about our side of the debate. And it's real simple.
They admitted their ignorance but took no steps to resolve the issue, right?
they said it took too much time and that they didn't have the time. And so because of that, they're just going to side with Al Gore. Because Al Gore makes it easy.
Hey, how much time are you going to have when every single cent goes to the government that you earn? All right? How much time are you going to have? You're going to have none. You don't even have time to play with your freaking kids that you're using to propagandize the public. I mean, come on. Seriously. And it's the fundamental difficulties with these climate cultists is that they don't understand the banking agenda behind it all. And that alone, even if the science wasn't fraudulent.
It's not about politics, Vinny. It's not about politics.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to make it not about politics, but it so obviously is. And in every single sector, they're just basically lying, you know.
None of the climate scientists get paid. They're independent of the banking system. They're not going to get paid.
Yeah, that's right. None of them get research grants about global warming. None of them have, positions high up on institutional boards. None of them get kickbacks. None of them get, free tickets to the Bermuda Triangle or something like that so that hopefully they might disappear. None of them.
Climate scientists' numbers haven't exploded more than 500% in 10 years. No, that hasn't happened.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's not a cash cow, ladies and gentlemen, even though it's all about green business. You know, it's just total doublespeak, man. I'm beyond redemption here, you know? That's right. I'm a climate denier. I fully deny that there's a climate. You know, but it doesn't mean you should just go ahead and freaking kill me. You know, Isn't that what this kid on this Greenpeace video says? Basically, it's like, you're an enemy and you need to be killed. You know, more or less, that's basically what he's talking about. The Green Police. And speaking of
which, he's an enemy.
Yeah.
Who's an enemy?
Who's the real enemy here? You know, I, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest enemy is always myself. You know, and these climate cultists don't get that. They don't get that that your ignorance can be far more dangerous than anybody else's lies. Do you understand that, ladies and gentlemen? That if you don't know something, it's far more dangerous than somebody who knows different and lies about it? Your ignorance is killing people.
Look, Vinny, the banking system and the Federal Reserve, none of that affects me. I'm not interested. It doesn't affect my life.
It's a blatant denial of reality, you know. I mean, for the love of Norwegian cheese.
You know, whose head's screwed on? Ours or theirs, you know? That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Whose head's screwed on? Who's denying reality whilst they watch Shortland Street, Coronation Street, Home and Away, Friends, eat pizzas, get fat? You know? Is that reality? Well, it's theirs. It's their perception. But see, their perception's not reality. Because the Federal Reserve Bank is running their life. They issue the base currency of the world. They do so out of thin air. And every hour you work, they are just working against you. They are just hitting you in the head with a giant hammer. And no one cares. No one seems to care. Like George Carlin said, no one seems to notice. No one seems to care.
Hey, and we're all lobotomized, aren't we? You know, we've got this diet that reduces our ability to think, and the air's all polluted. You know, it's not like we're not actually people who care about the environment or anything. I actually really do. Okay, I just don't think that taxing it is a brilliant idea, and I don't think that allowing foreign oil companies to bring in all our abiotic fuel is a brilliant idea either. And I certainly don't think that any banksters are going to help us solve the problem that they created. Okay, it's all problem, reaction, solution. They created the society to be the most dumbed down, polluting society that has ever existed on the face of the earth, conceivably, and then they say, oh, because we created this really filthy society, you're all the ones to blame, and because we created it, we get to propose the solution, and then you all have to be slaves to us because, hey, it's your fault, because you listen to us. It's your problem. You're the one who's killing kids. You're the one who is destroying the environment. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's you. And again and again and again.
I'm walking downtown the other day.
It's proven, you know. And I was just like, see the wide-eyed climate cultists, you know, come up to you and you go, oh.
Why two of them come up to me the other day, Vinny. I'm walking down Queen Street. I'm heading towards my ferry. Two of the cultists are there. And they, you know, I always try and not make eye contact with the demons, you know, and just keep walking. and they, is, you know, how are you today, sir, you know, and then, They think I look like environmental or something. I don't know, because I'm brown. And there's like, oh, you know, here's one we can pick on. And they always stop me. And I'm like, why don't you care about BPA? What's BPA? Like, bisphenol A. It's all in the water bottles. It's over that shop selling it right there. Why don't you care about that stuff? Oh, because they haven't told you to. Because Al Gore hasn't told you to. George Soros hasn't told you to. Haven't paid you to. You pay $15 an hour. Preach a particular mantra. So don't stop me, pal. You don't want to hear this.
And you know what's funny?
Why don't you protest against fluoride in water? I said to him, are you for 1080? Are you for? Oh, totally against 1080. Totally. See, we agree there. I said, not quite, pal, because you know 1080 sodium fluoride acetate, sodium fluoride is in the drinking water. And you guys, what do you think about that? Well, it's good for your teeth. So I said, so you're against 1080 being dropped out of helicopters on animals and stuff, but if it's in your water supply, you're just like, oh, well, dentist says it's good, trust the experts. Always give the state the benefit of the doubt. Whenever there's a doubt, give it to the state. You know, the government's always right. If there's any gray areas in my life, I let the government decide what's black and white.
How has this happened? I mean, we got socialized into this kind of ignorance, though, didn't we? You know, society didn't used to be this way, did it? Oh, wait, actually it did, the whole way through. Hey, the Kaiser Wilhelm's declared war on us. Hey, lads, let's go join the army. World War One. Hey, there's this terrible bunch of people called the Japanese and the Germans that we created. Let's go join the army and go off and fight them. World War Two. Hey, there's these evil commies. They're gonna get us all. Let's go over and fight them and die doing so. Vietnam. Again and again and again and again and again. Everybody trusts the government and they die from it. Quite frickin' literally.
Because war is the engine of this economy. Don't people get it? Your cars, your computers, everything's derived from war. Everything is derived from war. War is the engine of this planet. War is Skull and Bones mantra. War is how these guys roll. They can't do anything without it.
It's the great motivator. I love it. You know, imagine if the truth movement phrased this fight like it's a war. You know, like it's an info war, etc., etc. It's a battle over the brain pans of all the slaves. You know, it's not being fought with guns on a distant battlefield. It's being fought with words right here in your own home, on your street, in your town. And it's happening right now. And you are under attack right now. And this is the war that drives the truth movement, much like the real war fought with guns and propaganda, is being fought overseas on some distant battlefield. It's so distressing that we cannot see the forest for the trees. Are we capable of envisioning a world where all this lies is exposed? Are we capable of envisioning a world where people are actually smart enough to not be deceived and to not instantly trust whatever their government says? I don't know. That's what I'm working towards. And I'm pretty sure all of you out there, that's what you want for your children as well. If there be danger, let it be in my time so that my children can live in peace. Thomas Paine said that.
I mean, even if people don't want to understand it all, like this is where I'm coming from, even if they don't want to understand all the complexities and the secret societies and everything, just stand against consolidated power. If you just stand against consolidated power, if people would only do that on a mass scale with like a 60 to 70% compliance, none of these institutions, none of these corruptions would be able to get off the ground. None of them would be able to get all over TV and get all over the airwaves and dominate our psyches. And that's what we've got to try and do. Because people aren't going to get it properly. People aren't going to get all the details. They're not going to understand it.
Because they don't have time. I mean, look, the only time when anybody says they don't have time is when they're too frickin' lazy or they don't understand the point. Right? If you watch
everyone's
6 hours...
Everyone's got the same time on this planet. Yeah, everyone's got the same time. We're all the same.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason why you don't have any time is because you watch 6 hours of television a day. What could you be doing in that time? You know?
Oh, that's a chill-out time, Vinny. That's how they chill out these days. Get mesmerized, get put into a beta brainwave state, get, you know.
And you only need to be mesmerized and have your chill-out time because you have to work so hard to survive, not to thrive. Where is this heading, you know? We've all been conditioned into this
people
point.
People have choices there too, Vinny.
Eh?
There's always choices. There's always choices. Even there's no such thing as you have to. And yeah, this is what people need to get over, and that's what true freedom means. There's no such thing as you have to. Everyone says you have to work and everything, and of course, we all know this. To survive day to day in this paradigm we live, we need money. We know this better than a lot of people. But the point is, you don't have to do anything. And don't feel pressured by slave scum cowards who don't understand things to do so.
Yeah, don't listen to them, because they're stupid, and they don't know what's going on. Just like the Vinnie Eastwood show with Will. We'll be right back. This goes out to all the poor stoners. That's right. We're jamming. We're jamming in the name of the climate cultists. And we were just talking up over the break about alternative schooling. And you tell them what you told me about the Steiner schooling, bro.
Well, look, I'm not promoting Rudolf Steiner because I've looked into that stuff too, and it's, I mean, you know, Rudolf Steiner was an occultist, okay, and he believed in using certain rules of sacred geometry and things like this. He was all into, like, growing stuff under pyramids and, you know, he was one of the Brotherhood. But I guess what's not so negative, depending on your position, is the Steiner schooling, in the sense that they do teach alternative versions of history, or at least questioning history, and the general idea that the winners are the ones who write it. And so, you know, from that, they do encourage critical thought. I might not agree with their occult undertones, but, I mean, Steiner schools, I believe they're across the United States too. They're in Britain, obviously Europe, and the guys are German, and in New Zealand, there's a few of them too. There's some. There's a couple locally. In fact, my neighbor's kids attended a Steiner school, a Steiner junior school. I don't know what high school they go to now, but there's a Steiner high school also in Auckland. And just the people I've met from there do tend to question things. And in fact, one of their teachers, I was told, a prominent science teacher there, showed 9/11 to them on a sort of an off day. You know, there was nothing else to do. They'd satisfied their course requirements. And, yeah, showed them Loose Change in class, which I found amazing. Because another teacher, Kirsty Gillen, tried just questioning the official story of 9/11 in front of her students in 2008 at a school called Takapuna Grammar on Auckland's North Shore. And a particular student's father is the editor of New Zealand Herald. And so it went straight to him, and he put this big attack piece, being the lovely Freemason he is, spoken to him on a couple of occasions, in the New Zealand Herald, attacking her, saying she's promoting conspiracy theories, moon landing hoax, 9/11 conspiracy garbage, as he termed it, and she was gone. Good teacher, good history teacher at Takapuna Grammar, gone. But so a Steiner school maybe is more a conducive environment. But to be honest, I'm against state and public schools. I'm against Marxist-style education camps. And I'd rather that, just as in nature, just as a bird teaches its young, you know, or by repetition or by monkey see, monkey do, I believe parents should raise their children. But of course, in this day and age where we're taken away from everything natural, normal, and reasonable, both parents have to go out and work like slaves because the women were liberated. So anyway, it's enough of my rant. As you can tell, it gets into other issues. But, you know, I believe in a parent's sovereign right to have dominion over the minds of their children, at least until their children are at an age where they can deciphering the world for themselves. Who out there really thinks that the government has any more, like, people go, well, the parents can be bad. Yeah. Governments can be bad too. In fact, 100%
CPS.
Of them are.
Take CPS, for example. If you get your child taken into CPS custody, they are five times more likely to be sexually abused than anywhere else you know? And then people like Michael Laws, I can't wait to get back into this, you know, say that, oh, the government should just take all these people's kids. Right? Mm. I wonder if he knows that they get raped all the time, you know? And maybe he does. Maybe he's a child rapist. Yeah. You know? Who knows? There's so much disgusting stuff that goes on in these upper echelons of society. There's so much pedophilia and you know, disgusting stuff that you don't know because I think it was in the UK, a guy put up on his website 3,000 names of pedophiles, 300 of which were UK members of Parliament.
And the others were mainly ex-members of Parliament.
Yeah, no. 300 were named on the site, and 100 are still sitting MPs. So it's 200 ex-MPs and 100 current sitting MPs, and that's out of 600. Okay? Oh. Out of 600 MPs, 100 of them are pedophiles.
And so what were the other 300 or so?
No, was it 300 total?
Yeah. I thought it was 600 in total. Yeah,
No. In the UK, the House of Parliament has 600 representatives. And 100 of those 600 sitting MPs are named on the website. And there's another 200 on the website that aren't sitting MPs anymore.
But then the whole list itself is 3,000 in number.
Yeah.
And then, so do they have a demographic?
And a lot of these are lawyers and doctors and nurses and police and justice chiefs and you know, basically the high society types, the people who you elect to run your society, are the biggest occult scum that you could ever conceive of. It's beyond a joke.
Well, in 1987. There was a proposal in Britain to have public servants, police, lawyers, you know, judges, you name it, declare membership to secret societies after a book asserted, a well-evidenced book, I forget the title of the book, the guy was later killed in suspicious circumstances, claimed that over 80% of Metropolitan Police were Freemasons. Of course, in England, this is no secret. In fact, most council borough buildings, most local council buildings in England have small Masonic lodges for initiation ceremonies out the back of the office. This is, they're in-house. That's like having a small, insano church that most people don't like. It's like having the most radical church you could imagine out the back of your local council office and you went down the road. People wouldn't tolerate that, but it's fine to have a Baal worship Masonic lodge out the back of your local council. But anyway, that proposal, obviously, to have them declare membership of secret societies was completely turned over and the guy was killed. So this is it, Vinny. They don't want transparency. They want to have these corrupt little networks so they can work in with each other, and they do want to have foot soldiers on the ground in the emergency services. And once again, this is not ripping on all police and ambulance workers and everyone, but there is an element there.
And this is probably your favourite subject, isn't it, Will? Is the occult. You know, there's a lot of influence, particularly at higher levels of our governments and celebrities and all of that. They get drafted in to these things, you know, and it's gross, pretty much. And I think that there's a lot of dirt out there on all these people, and that's a good thing, right, for them. Because it means that they won't reveal any secrets for fear of being exposed. You have to be culpable, Vinny, if you want to be part of it.
Well, Vinny, the issue of the occult...
Children. I love it.
The issue of the occult and its influences are sometimes hard to demonstrate and really hard to break down to people who don't really want to have the knowledge of it or just want to be ignorant and say, no, it's Christians and Muslims that are the problem. because that's what's visible. The occult can include Christianity and Islam and any major religion also. It's across the board. Like I said, the guys in Saudi, prominent members of the Freemasons, and certain other secret societies like the Golden Dawn and the OTO and all these other. But anyway, if you just take a look around you, and if you don't believe that society formed itself, that cars and buildings and infrastructure just came about through the sands of time, the winds and change and chance plus time, if you're not a randomist, which I'm not, and if you look at government buildings from anywhere, from Fiji to Tokyo to the United States to London, you'll see a common theme. Common details, not just an overarching theme. Very minute details of the architecture are all the same, regardless of their so-called differences in culture. Oh, I love France, I love the culture. It's the same as England. It's the same cabal, it's the same cult, it's the same architecture. There's nothing different. The Arc de Triomphe, the Louvre, all these symbols are no different than if you go into Washington, D.C., and you see that the whole street layout of D.C. is in these big pentagrams, admittedly designed by Royal Arc Freemasons. The whole design of a whole monetary system, any legal house, like everything, like the days of the week even, are all from occult inspired origins. You know, like everything. You just have to peer beneath the surface. So you'll soon realize that we're living in an occult empire. It's not a Christian or Islamic world or anything like that. America's not a Christian nation. Total myth. Well, it's a well-believed in myth, and it's a well-perpetuated myth.
Yeah, and you've got to give your hats off to these scum. You know, they're actually pretty good at brainwashing. You know, I'm sometimes actually really like, you pretty brilliant bastards, aren't you? And it makes me sort of sick in a way, you know. But on the other hand, I think to myself, that's pretty amusing. It's really hilarious that all this stuff is right there in your face, thinly veiled, and you still can't see it, you know.
I mean, take One Tree Hill in Auckland. We have a prominent hill in Auckland, and it has this giant obelisk on top of it. If you go to most major, even if you drive around the country and go into little towns, as you enter each town, it has a Freemason symbol. And we run this town, every little town around the country.
Yep,
if you go, and it has lions and rotary sometimes too, right next to it. They're the fallen sons of Freemasonry that have helped feed it. And anyway, if you go to D.C., there is in Washington, D.C., there is an obelisk which has a small elevator within it. You can travel up to the top where it has a little nice flashing light, all-seeing eye. This obelisk is 555 foot above ground level. It's 666 foot in total because 111 feet are buried underground. It's 666 feet tall. It's not a proper Egyptian obelisk because it's not one piece, but it's an obelisk nonetheless. And if you read into the occult and what the obelisk does, it's to capture cosmic energy or energy they believe from Lucifer. It's positioned in certain ways, like facing north to give you power in times of war. So is the Pentagon, the United States. You can look it up on Google Earth. You can clearly see this. They position these things. Everything is on certain ley lines, energy fields. Psychopaths run the place, and then Michael Laws will then go, or some conditioned person, oh, wow, you're nuts, you believe in all this stuff. No, the people you work for, the people you defend, the people whose lies you believe in this stuff. They follow a different calendar system called the Annalution calendar. They believe it's 6010, and their day of reckoning is coming. And they use this geometry to empower their cause. They are capturing Lucifer's energy, they believe, through obelisks in every major city on this planet. And then they're networking them together. It's creepy, it's weird stuff, but they fully believe in this. All I'm doing is reporting what they believe, and you can look it up for yourself, find out it's true.
And you know, when you think this sounds crazy, don't worry. That indicates only that you are still sane. All right, because it is nuts. The people who run the planet are off their bloody rockers. They have gone
bonkers. But they're in control. They've done something right.
Well, yeah. I mean, even insane people can get something right. You know, a broken watch is still right twice a day.
Where, with the plinth thing, there is a thing such as cosmic radiation, which the climate cultists don't know. Invisible ultraviolet radiation that passes through our ozone layer. And ancient cultures all over the world have used plinths and rocks and that to capture this. And so these occult themes run inherently through so many cultures. It's quite obvious, really.
Yeah. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Prophesize with your pen and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. Was a loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back to the changing landscape of talk radio. You're listening to the fastest 2 hours in the Southern Hemisphere. Live from the future in New Zealand, it is Wednesday, 7:51 a.m., and you're listening to the soothing sweet sounds of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We've had quite an interesting bunch of discussions here, and I just wanted to kind of touch on something here, one of the articles that our associate producer, who went to a Steiner school, by the way, sent me. The Ryanair CEO says that global warming is a bunch of bull. So, you know, tell me something I don't know. Michael O'Leary, the CEO of Europe's largest airline, Ryanair, has called global warming bull, air, and horse air in an interview with the Irish Independent. Michael O'Leary's scathing assault on the scientific theory targeted not just the idea of global warming itself, but those who perpetuate it. Good on you, mate. From the Irish Independent, do I believe there is global warming? No. I believe it's all a load of bull. But it's amazing the way the whole effing eco-warriors and the media have changed. It used to be global warming, but now, when global temperatures haven't risen in the past 12 years, they say climate change. O'Leary didn't hold back, targeting the entire scientific community for being wrong throughout history and the weather on a regular basis. Makes quite substantial points. The scientific community has nearly always been wrong in history anyway. In the Middle Ages, they were going to excommunicate Galileo because the entire scientific community said the Earth was flat. I mean, it's obviously bizarre that the people who can't tell us that the effing weather is next Tuesday can predict with absolute precision what the effing global temperatures will be in 100 years' time. I mean, he makes...
Good argument, man.
Good argument. I mean, and... you know, people were just like, well, you know, you shouldn't have been swearing in the interview. And it's just like, well, for F's sake.
Yeah, they won't focus on the argument, eh? Just, oh, he used some syllables we don't like.
Yeah, you use single syllables. Mate, you're using entire documents full of profanity, okay?
I mean, the elite Barack Obama doesn't just use bad syllables. Barack Obama you know, legitimizes using depleted uranium on people. Depleted uranium, bad words. What's worse? Oh, bad words. You shouldn't use bad words.
Oh, goodness. Goodness gracious me. Is there no end to the madness?
CO2 is a toxin, don't you know? CO2 is a toxin. You're breathing out toxins right now. You're bad. You need to put a filter on your mouth. Filter on your mouth.
Hey. Well, I'm just gonna like heat up the climate. Hey, tell me if you feel the temperature change.
Yeah, I feel it. My headphones are getting warm.
Oh yeah, see, it's global warming.
Yeah. It's bad, man. We're bad. We're real bad.
Oh yeah, so naughty.
People are nuts, man. They're out of their minds. They're out of their minds because, you know, what I love most are the climate changers who go, oh, yeah, but I don't agree with the tax. It's like agreeing 9/11 was done by the Arabs, but then going, oh, yeah, but I don't agree with the war. Well, there are hypocrites like that too. But you see, it's so stupid because if you believe in the premise, the politicians will use that and exploit that and take it all the way to the bank. And so by believing in the premise, you cause the problem.
What? And helping? And you know what's worse is they help to push it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's probably what this Ryanair CEO is going on about, is that he's really upset by the entire blatantly compromised scientific community. And the scientific method is dead. Let's not mince words here.
But see, they all just say, oh, of course he's going to be against it. He runs an airline. He wants to fly his planes around at low cost. He knows it will threaten his aircraft industry, which it will. It threatens the whole aircraft industry.
Threatens every industry.
Because they run on low margin. They run on, it will affect them deeply. They can't afford to put prices up. And then there's a whole bunch of economics involved there with aircraft. But anyway, they're just saying, oh, he's a big oil corporation guy. In the meantime, they empower the biggest corporations on the world. One of them is the Federal Reserve Bank. The other is the World Bank and the IMF. They are empowering the biggest corporations. The same leftists who go, I don't like corporations. That's for the right wing. Like from every angle. Scientifically, they're wrong. Economically, they're wrong. Sociologically, they're wrong. Like every angle, they're wrong.
It's much easier to be wrong from every angle than to be right once, isn't it?
I can't believe they believe in corporate lies. George Soros is a billionaire. George Soros owns country. He owns 25%. Of a, I'm trying to remember the country's stock now. But anyway, he's just like, he can just move his bank account around the place and cause depressions.
Yeah.
That's how much influence this man has. And there's, oh, he's a good-hearted guy. He cares about the environment.
It's laughable, isn't it? You know, and that's why we like to have a good time on this show. You know, despite the fact that we're discussing all these terrible things, if you lose your sense of humor, you will lose your sanity. And hopefully, you won't go see a psychologist. You'll start listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio. Coming up next, we have the monumentally fabulous Intel Hub, who we love very much here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Hope you enjoy them, and if you enjoy us, we'll be back tomorrow. And also, we're going to be doing our podcast after the show at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. See you there.